is the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Sitting in for Dr. Mohler today, Russell Moore. Dr. Moore is Dean of the School of Theology at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and Director of the Carl Henry Institute for Evangelical Engagement. Now, here's your host for today, Dr. Russell Moore.
How do you know when it's time to leave? I mean, you know you've had it, you know you're ready to walk out, but is it right? I'm not talking about your marriage, I'm talking about your church. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program, and we're talking today about the issue of how do you know when a church has gone so far away from the gospel that you have no choice but to leave. And today I'm going to have two very special guests on with me, people, men that I admire greatly, Dr. Oz Guinness, who is a world-renowned author and writer. He has written books that many of you have read, such as The Call. He is also an author of a recent op-ed in the Washington Post called Why We Left the Episcopal Church. It was co-written with the rector of the Falls Church, the church to which Dr. Guinness belongs. And they said, you know, the Episcopal Church USA has just gone too far away from the gospel that the Falls Church had to sever its relationship, along with six other Episcopal churches in Virginia, sever its relationship with the Episcopal Church USA and come under the authority of the Episcopal Church of Nigeria. Now, we're going to talk to Dr. Guinness about what he sees as the reasons why this church felt the need to do this, and how do you make that decision? How do you know when a church has veered so far that it's lost its lampstand, that it's lost its way? How do you know when that has happened? On the other hand, how do you avoid being the kind of person who just gives up, who says, you know what, I just don't like this decision or that decision, and we're taking our money and walking away? How do you navigate this? How do you show respect for the authority of a church? How do you show respect for cooperative arrangements among churches, at the same time understanding that the central issue is the gospel, is biblical authority? That's oftentimes a hard choice to make. And I want to hear from you. What do you think? How should you make this decision? How do you know when a denomination or a local church has veered so far away from the truth of Scripture that it's time for you in good conscience to leave? How do you make that decision? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. But first, on the line, Dr. Oz Guinness, who is the co-founder of the Trinity Forum and is a world-renowned thinker and speaker on all matters religious and cultural. Dr. Guinness, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Well, thank you, Russell.
It's good to have you with us today. I found your article, your op-ed in the Washington Post to be extremely intriguing because you lay out the case for why the Falls Church decided it could no longer be affiliated with the Episcopal Church USA. Why now?
Well, people were accusing us of all sorts of lesser reasons, that we were anti-gay or that we were afraid of a left-wing drift in the church, various things like that, which simply weren't the case. And we wanted to make very clear that the central issue is one of truth and faith and orthodoxy, and we wanted to draw a line, and the Episcopal Church has simply gone too far. But let me start by saying the reasons we didn't leave, because an awful lot of people are leaving churches and just hopping and shopping today, rather like channel surfing.
That's right.
And we're in a culture that's described by sociologists as conversion-prone, so it's almost too easy to pick up and leave. You don't like the music, you don't like yesterday's sermon, and so on. It wasn't that.
Okay.
And the climax of this, really after 30 years, was a month of 40 days of prayer and discernment. So it was a very serious and in many ways a sad step. Now, you ask the positive reason, I would say, you remember Augustine's great line, or picked up by Richard, in things essential, unity.
Mm-hmm.
In things non-essential, liberty. In all things, charity. Now, the Episcopal Church has gone further than any Christian church in history in allowing people to deny the essentials, the nature of God, the uniqueness of Christ, the character of the cross, and things like this. So the issue, the flashpoint, was the consecration of a gay bishop. But the real issue was the essentials of the faith have been denied.
Dr. Guinness, we have also on the line the rector of the Falls Church.
Oh, wonderful.
Your colleague, Reverend John Yates. Reverend Yates, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Hey, I'm sorry to be late, but it's good to be connecting with you.
Glad to have you here. We're just talking about really the seriousness with which your congregation made its decision to sever its relationship with the Episcopal Church USA.
Yeah.
And this wasn't just simply we're going to take our money and walk away. It was 40 days of concentrated prayer and fasting.
Well, actually, it was a whole lot more than that. Maybe Oz has already mentioned it, but we have been in serious discussions with leaders of our diocese, our bishop, for 10 to 15 years about these matters, particularly, you know, from a theological perspective, the growing concern we've had about the erosion of doctrinal clarity in the denomination, and the decisions to elevate a practicing homosexual to the highest level of leadership in the church was certainly a major tipping point for us, but it sort of came in a long line of progressive realizations that we had about what was happening in our denomination.
Now, there are a lot of people listening to this broadcast who are not Episcopalians, but they're members of maybe other mainline denominations, and they're wondering, how do I know if my communion of churches is moving in this direction? What are kind of the signs that a church or denomination is starting to lose its way? Dr. Guinness?
Well, I think the sad thing is that many of the Protestant mainline churches are going down the same road, and you can see it among, say, the Presbyterians, who may be closest to the Episcopalians. But when you see them denying the essentials of the faith, as I said, starting with the nature of God and the uniqueness of Jesus and the character of the cross and the nature of Scripture as our authority, when these central essentials are attacked, then we're in trouble. Then one of the questions is, what are the chances of reform?
Mm-hmm.
You know, in England itself, in the Church of England, the evangelicals are well over 30% of the Church of England. But they're a much smaller group here, and the extremes have gone much further here. And, of course, there are many other alternatives in this place. But we want to make clear, we have not left the Anglican Church. We've left the Episcopal Church to be more faithful to the church that we see worldwide that is Anglican, that is Reformed, and that is evangelical.
What do you do when you have leaders who use the language, but they fill them with all different kinds of meaning? I think this is something that perhaps was happening in the Episcopal Church long before you all got to this point. I think of, for instance, listening to the retired Bishop of Newark, Bishop John Shelby Spong, speaking of how he can repeat the Apostles' Creed, but he has his own meaning behind the words of the Apostles' Creed.
That's one of the biggest frustrations that we've faced over the years, because if you read our Book of Common Prayer, the Orthodox faith is laid out beautifully, as it always has been.
Mm-hmm.
But what these words and what these precious doctrines mean is something very different now. And it's hard to describe how difficult this is to deal with.
Sure.
Because, you know, folks say, well, I believe that. And I was just having a discussion with one of our bishops just this week. And, we both say we're Orthodox. We both say we believe in the authority of Scriptures. But when you begin taking it apart and asking what does that really mean, the differences are breathtaking.
And there are a lot of churches, mainline Protestant churches especially, that really have to worry about losing their property if they break away from the denomination. Isn't that right?
Yes, most of the mainline denominations have decided over the years that they own the property, regardless of who borrowed the money from the bank, who paid the builders. They just decided that they own the property, and so it becomes a matter of state law as to how this is handled. If you can't come to an agreement with your denominational authorities about who owns the property, then it has to go to court, and then it becomes a matter of state law. And, of course, judges don't want to get involved.
Sure, they don't want to get in the middle of a dispute between churches. Dr. Guinness, one of the things that you all mention in this article is the fact that the issues in the Episcopal Church USA, and really issues in all kinds of denominations in the United States of America and the world right now, are not just about differences of opinion, it's about spiritual adultery.
Well, that's the biblical view, that truth isn't something abstract and theoretical. When we commit ourselves to God's truth, it is a relational thing, and so to deny that, as apostasy does deny it, is actually to be seen as an adulterer in Old Testament terms.
The issues here are quite serious. I'd like to thank you, Reverend John Yates, Dr. Oz Guinness, rector and member of the Falls Church in Falls Church, Virginia, a historic church. 1700s is when this church came into existence, and it's breaking with the Episcopal Church USA and joining up with the Episcopal Church of Nigeria. Question I have for you is, how do you know when your church or denomination has gone too far away from the gospel, and how do you keep yourself from becoming one of these church shoppers who just leaves over nothing? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. And the question is, how do you know when a church or a denomination has gone too far? What are the kinds of things that we ought to be able to live with as a member of a church, as a member of a denomination? And what are the things that we have to say, you know what, it's gone too far, it's gone too long, there is nothing else I can do about this, it's time for us to leave. I frankly think, you know, I appreciate Oz Guinness. I have nothing but respect for the Falls Church in Virginia, and yet I think this is way too late. The Episcopal Church was gone a long time ago. The Presbyterian Church USA was gone a long time ago. I remember going several years ago to a Presbyterian Church USA General Assembly, going to a meeting of conservatives, godly men and women there, just Bible-believing, godly gospel believers in that room, and yet across the room was a meeting of the Voices of Sophia goddess worshipers. And I remember thinking, you know, if you are in a denomination that includes a group of goddess worshipers, it's gone too far. It's too far gone at this point. But how do you know? How do you know in your own local church? You know what? I can live with the fact that the music is terrible. I can live with the fact that the preaching is not as exciting as I would want it to be. But what are the things that you have to say, you know what, this is too far. We have to leave because the lampstand is gone. How do you know when that has happened? Jesus warns us in the book of Revelation it can happen, but how do you know? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Maybe there's some of you out there who say, you know what, I'm still a Methodist. I'm still a PCUSA Presbyterian, and this is why. Maybe you can change my mind. Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. But I have on the line a hero of the faith of mine, a man in my own denomination, the Southern Baptist Convention, Judge Paul Pressler. He is the author of a book, A Hill on Which to Die, published by Broadman and Holman several years ago. But more than that, this is a man who was a justice of the Court of Appeals in Texas, 14th District. He was a well-respected Texas political figure and judge, and yet he also took the time as a layman to really lead Southern Baptists in the Southern Baptist Convention to reclaim their own denomination from liberalism. He was able to be part of a movement, to lead a movement, to take a denomination that was headed exactly where the Episcopal Church is now and turn it around in a different direction. Judge Pressler, how did you know at the beginning when you sat down and started thinking about all of the heretical things that were being done at Baptist colleges and at Baptist seminaries, how did you know that it wasn't too late to turn it around?
And he placed on my heart a burden. And if we hadn't succeeded, then I still could have said, at least I did what God told me to do.
So you were well prepared. If this call for reformation had failed, you were well prepared to leave.
Yes, I was. And a lot of the people that were in the movement were well prepared to leave. We really felt probably it had gone too far. But God gave the grace and gave the victory, and we were always surprised with the success that occurred.
You know, one of the things that occurs to me, Judge Pressler, is that you and the others who led a conservative movement in the Southern Baptist Convention were able to do that really because of the way that the convention is structured. It wouldn't be
Absolutely.
As easy for an Episcopalian or a Methodist to turn things around, would it?
in a hierarchical system, it's much much more difficult because you have the people rise to the top who try to compromise and work together with everybody. In a completely democratic system, such as a Baptist system or a congregational type government, then the grassroots can express themselves clearly. And we are a completely democratic organization in the Southern Baptist Convention. The grassroots remain conservative. They had not been corrupted by the influence of our seminaries. And therefore, all we needed to do was to encourage the grassroots to participate. We had a three-point message, homiletically correct. One, we have a problem, and we illustrated that by reading from what had been written by those in positions of authority in our seminaries and elsewhere. Two, we have a system built in the Southern Baptist Convention that will allow us to do something about it. And three, to motivate them to attend the conventions and vote their convictions.
Why do you think it is, Judge Pressler, that in almost every denomination, the grassroots is more conservative than the denominational elites?
Well, some people are educated beyond their intelligence. A lot of people go to school and they have professors who want to create their own little group of disciples, and the only way they can do that is by coming up with some new thing that seems so smart and seems so relevant, but actually is an old heresy. And so they gather those people around them that will say, oh, isn't Dr. So-and-so brilliant and wonderful because he's such a new thinker and all.
Mm-hmm.
And that way they allure seminary students away from the truth, and then these seminary students will go and corrupt the people in the pews. So it's a progressive thing. And fortunately, in the Southern Baptist Convention, we had lost our seminaries, but they had not gotten down to the pews because the ones who had become liberal were afraid of what would happen to them if they espoused their liberalism from the pulpits.
And I want to emphasize that those seminaries were turned back around in the years after the turnaround of the Southern Baptist Convention and are now in solid shape.
Well, they certainly are. It's absolutely fabulous. The whole secret to the success of a denomination is their educational institutions. Because if you lose your seminaries irrevocably, then it's just a matter of time until all the pulpits are corrected. And we had lost our seminaries, but because we were a democratic form of government, they were not lost irrevocably.
Judge Pressler, do you think that your denomination, my denomination too, the Southern Baptist Convention, could ever move again back to the left?
Oh, I think that eternal vigilance is the price of liberty and price of freedom and price of maintaining the gospel. I think there are signs of problems in the convention right now, not so much towards liberalism, but towards compromise and a watered-down gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And what you have always after you water down the gospel is you have the opening for liberalism to come in. So I don't think we're in any danger of being liberal in the next 10 or 20 years, but I think that we constantly have to be watching things.
Judge Pressler, thank you so much for being on the program today, and thank you so much for standing for the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Well, I am glad we're friends, and I admire you very much indeed. It's certainly a privilege for me to be on the program.
Thank you very much, Judge Paul Pressler. He was able to turn the Southern Baptist Convention around, but there are a lot of other denominations that are far, far to the left. The question is, how do you know, not just in a denomination, but in your own local church, how do you know when it's time to leave without being a divisive person? You know, the Bible speaks not only of standing against heresy, it also speaks against factiousness. So how do you stand for truth in a church that's moving left without being an angry, factious kind of person? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. How do you know when you ought to stand and be an influence in your church? How do you know when you ought to just let things go? And how do you know when it's time to leave? It's a hard call. How are you able to see? What advice would you give for people in churches that say, you know what, I'm not even sure this is the gospel? 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. And breaking up is hard to do under any circumstances, but especially when churches are breaking up. We have churches all over the United States of America that are fractured, denominations that are fractured, local congregations that are fractured. And I think the problem really is twofold. Sometimes you have people who are willing to walk away. They're willing to stand up in a congregation and say, you know what, I'm leaving because you didn't do what I want when it comes to the music. You didn't do what I want when it comes to whether or not we ought to buy a new lawnmower for the church lawn, so we're out of here. That's sinful. That's factiousness. On the other hand, you've got a group of other people who won't leave even when the gospel is gone. That's why I think the Episcopal churches that are breaking away now, I'm glad to see it, but it really is too late. I mean, when you have John Shelby Spong, bishop in the Episcopal Church, standing up and saying that Jesus is not the Son of God, Jesus has not come in the flesh. I mean, the Bible tells you that's the spirit of Antichrist. And that's been going on for a long time in the Episcopal Church. I think there are some of these churches that have folks who are standing in, they're trying to fight the good fight, but the fight is over. My question to you is, how do you know when a church has veered away from the gospel? How do you know what Jesus says in the Revelation, in Revelation chapter 2, if you don't return to your first love, he says to the church at Ephesus, I will remove the lampstand from you. How do you know when that's happened? And how do you know when you're just being hypercritical, when you're just wanting to walk away over something that really doesn't matter and shouldn't matter? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. What would you say? I mean, maybe you're in a church right now that's great. You're in a church right now that is really faithful to the gospel. You're happy there. What about your children? What would you say to your children? This is how you know when this church has turned into something else. When you see these things happening, that's when you know it's time to walk away. It's time to no longer be a part of this fellowship. Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. We have Janice on the line calling from Boone, Iowa. Janice, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Good afternoon.
Good to have you on the program today. How do you know when a church is starting to veer away?
Well, I know it's time to go when you see your children not following the gospel. It's one thing if you can stand, but if you're losing your children, if they are losing their faith, their peers that are in the church are not Christian peers, then it's time to go for the sake of the next generation.
Mm. So when you start to see the children who actually aren't hearing the gospel, they're not responding to the gospel at all. That's an important point I think that Janice is making, is that the issue here is not just about those genuine believers in the churches. It has to do with the next generation. I mean, I think there are probably a lot of godly Christians who are members of churches that long ago have stopped preaching. Maybe even churches that still kind of have a confession of faith that is orthodox. They still hold to a form of godliness, but they just don't preach. And if that's the case, what are you going to do about those children that are coming up at age 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 and teenagers who aren't hearing the gospel being preached with power and with conviction? I think that Janice is onto something there. That ought to be a key indicator right away when you have children who are not listening. They're not hearing the gospel because it's not being pressed upon them. What do you think? How do you know when a church is starting to veer away? And how do you know when it's veered away so far that it's time for you to leave? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. I don't think you ought to leave a church easily. I think this ought to be a difficult thing to do. I mean, similar to what Oz Guinness was saying about being in a time of prayer and fasting, and that was over leaving the Episcopal Church. So this is really what I would consider a denomination, not a church structure as authorized by the Bible in that way at all. But still, that's an important decision to make. What about individually, as you're a member of a congregation? How do you know when you're just in a struggling congregation, and how do you know when it's gone way too far? 877-893-8255. We have Susie on the line calling from Greenville, Tennessee. Susie, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Thank you. I enjoy your program.
Thank you so much. What's your thought on this today?
The factor that I used to determine when it was time to leave a previous church was when they no longer taught the Ten Commandments as the authoritative Word of God. And then after a period of fasting and prayer, I left the church
So it's when the commands of God were being ignored and being wiped away in your situation. So that's a good point. I think there are a lot of churches where you have sin that is not being confronted. You have sin that is not being identified, sometimes because it's politically dangerous to take on those sins. You know, if the chairman of deacons is a tax embezzler, is a tax swindler, what are you going to do? Are you going to identify that from the pulpit, or are you just going to shut up? It's a good point. What do you think? How do you know when a church is veering away from the truth? And how do you know when it's gone so far that it's time to leave? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. There's some of you out there, you may need to tell me, what are some things you ought to be able to put up with in a church, even if you don't like them? This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. Reba McIntyre says somebody's got to leave. It's a marriage that isn't working. Question is, we know what to do in that situation. Bible says you don't walk away. You don't end a marriage. You keep working at that. But what about in a church? What about in a church that you feel is moving far and far, farther and farther away from the gospel? The Episcopal churches in Virginia, seven of them in recent days, have broken away from the Episcopal Church USA. They have joined up with the Episcopal Church of Nigeria because they say the Episcopal Church USA has broken with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oz Guinness in the Washington Post says the issue here is that the Episcopal Church USA is committing adultery against the Lord Jesus Christ by negating such issues as the fact that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, as having those teaching within the church who are denying the Trinity, who are denying even the fact that there's a God, that they have walked away from the faith once for all delivered to the saints. Yeah, I agree with them. I just think they did it a long time ago. I think they did it a long time ago when they started, among other things, ordaining women to the priesthood, when they started walking away from the way that the Bible names God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There are all kinds of compromises that people have had to make within that church for years and years and years and years. I would have walked out of that church long before now, but at the same time, the Bible warns us we're not to be factious. So how do you know when too far is too far? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. How do you know when a church has abandoned the gospel? How do you know when that lampstand has been taken away? 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. And we have John on the line who's calling from Tampa, Florida, listening on WTBN. John, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Hi, Russell. Thanks for having me on.
Glad to. What do you think? How do you know when a church has gone too far?
I really feel that when the church goes away from its purpose, from seeking and saving the lost and being out there to help the community, and it's just focused on politics within the church, that's time for me to leave.
Okay. What do you mean by politics within the church?
Well, when it's all about church buildings and it's all about denominational politics.
Okay.
And it's not about the true reason why we meet. It's to, one of the reasons is to help the people in the community to know him.
Okay. All right. John says it's when the church gives up evangelism and starts focusing on other things. And I think that, frankly, John makes a very good point about abandoning evangelism, seeking and saving of the lost in favor of politics. You've got a lot of churches out there that are preaching politics, both right and left, all of the time, and not preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I agree with him. There comes a point where you have to say, if we're not going to be focused on proclaiming Jesus Christ crucified and raised from the dead, if this is not what this church is about, then it's time for us to leave. Now, it may be a situation where you've got a church that's just kind of lost its priorities. They think that they're evangelizing. They think that they're focused on the Great Commission, and they've just kind of lost their way. In that case, I think that you've got to have men and women within the congregation who are able to stand up and to help them to see, to help them to turn back around. But there comes a point, yeah, where you have to say, this church isn't about evangelism anymore. It's about recycling. or this church isn't about evangelism anymore. It's about a balanced budget amendment or whatever it is the church is concerned with. It's time now for us to walk away for the sake of conscience. But how do you know when you've reached that point? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. We have Sam on the line calling from Sacramento, California, listening on XM Radio. Sam, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Hello.
What's your thought today?
Hello, and thank you for taking my call.
Glad to.
In light of the subject today, I would like to comment on it. I'm a father of three teenagers, mm-hmm. and I would feel if I'm not being equipped and I'm not able to equip them at home as well as going to church, if I'm not being fed there, then I think it's time to leave.
Okay. Well, Sam, I agree with you to a point. Now, here's where I have a little bit of a check in my spirit, some may say. I think you have a lot of churches where kind of the default thing that the disgruntled guy says as he's walking out the door is, well, I'm not being fed. And that often means so many different things. Often it just means I don't find the preaching to be exciting enough for me. And I don't think that's a reason to leave a church. I think that instead, if you're saying, I'm not being fed, that's a really serious charge coming from John 21, feed my sheep, what Jesus says to Peter. I think that means that the pastor's no longer preaching the gospel. I mean, and that the church is no longer preaching and communicating the gospel, equipping the saints for the work of ministry. I think that, yeah, if you go to church and you're in a place where the gospel's not there anymore, you can't recognize the gospel there anymore, and no one's even concerned. Now, again, you might have a congregation where the pastor and the leaders of the church have just kind of lost their way. They just aren't thinking about these things, and they need to be encouraged and exhorted to turn back toward the scriptures. But if you're in a place that says, we're not interested in that, we're not interested in preaching the gospel, and we don't want any more of your input about it, then yeah, I think it's time to leave for as you say, for your own sake, Sam, as somebody who is cultivating and raising up your children and teaching the next generation. What do you think? How do you know when it's time to leave a church or a denomination? And how do you know when it's too late? It's too late to do anything. You can't reform this church. You can't reform this denomination because it's too far gone. What are the signs that you ought to be looking for to say, you know what? We've got a church. Maybe the lampstand is gone. The Episcopal Church USA has been in trouble for a long time. I think there are a lot of people who just weren't paying attention to what was going on. But how do you know? What are the signs you look for? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. And how do you know when you're in a situation, maybe a church in crisis, maybe a denomination in crisis, but you say, you know what? We can change this. We can turn this around. Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. You know what? When you have bishops wearing dresses, you've gone way past a church that's committed to biblical authority. When you've got a denomination that is not willing to stand up and speak the words, Jesus is Lord, our Father who art in heaven, you've got a church, you've got a denomination that is gone. You don't even have common ground to stand on to speak about these things. How do you know when you're moving in that direction as a church, as a denomination? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. We probably have some people listening to this program who are in churches. They say, you know what, my pastor is liberal. My denomination is liberal. I'm not. Should I stay? Should I go? What's your advice? 877-893-8255. This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. Seven churches in Virginia are moving on from the Episcopal Church. They're saying, you know what, we can't take it anymore. It has gone too far left. And today, I'm talking to you about how do you know when a church or denomination has gone so far that you in good conscience can't be a part of it anymore? And how do you avoid just being the kind of person that's factious and divisive? You may call 877-893-8255. I don't think these Episcopal churches are factious or divisive. I think, if anything, they're waiting too long to pull out of the Episcopal Church, but they're being blasted in the press, including one op-ed in the Washington Post that calls them Episcopalians against equality. That's not the issue. The issue is that they're in a church that abandoned the gospel. They're in a denomination, at least, that abandoned the gospel. Well, you've got these faithful gospel-preaching churches that say, you know what, we can't do this anymore. How do you know when it's reached that point? Melinda, calling from Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Melinda, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
I just want to say that I think it's time to leave your church when your pastor goes soft on issues. He becomes a feel-good pastor when he doesn't talk about abortion as being something that is a negative, or when he doesn't talk about gay and homosexuality being wrong.
Okay. Well, I think it depends on what you mean by going soft on the issues. Yeah, if you've got a pastor who is not willing to speak to issues as clearly sin, not willing, for instance, to say that the unborn are persons who deserve protection, and not willing to say you ought not to be having abortions, then yeah, if you've got a pastor who's scared to say that, then you've got a pastor who is shirking his responsibilities as pastor. Of course, again, it could be that you've got a pastor, he's not addressing the abortion issue because he's not thinking about it. Maybe he needs his congregation to call his attention to say, you know what, we've got a crisis in our community. We really need you to stand up and tell us, what does Jesus say to us about the issue of abortion? But if you've got a pastor who says, you know what, that's one of these things that I just am kind of scared to touch, then yeah, you've got a church that is in crisis. You've got a church that is in trouble. Again, you've got a lot of people in churches right now who are disgruntled. They move from church to church to church to church because they don't get their way in a business meeting, because they don't like the way that the minister of music is leading the congregation in worship. That's no reason to leave a church. But if you've got a church that doesn't preach the gospel anymore, if you're in a denomination that can't even decide whether or not Jesus Christ is the Son of God, can't even decide whether or not to listen to the Bible or to Hollywood or to Washington, D.C., then yeah, it's time to say, we're going to go where the gospel is. This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmohler.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmohler.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.